Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Thursday, April the 15th, 2021, 16 and a half minutes past the hour, coming up on 17 minutes, and we're going to have a very interesting show for you this morning. I do want to let you know, we'll get into it in just a second, but coming up next hour, we will have a little bit of a lighter subject on the show than we will start with this morning in hour number one, as we will have our monthly visit from author, I'm not sure what the right term is. She writes articles for magazine for Good Housekeeping, has for years. The queen of helpful hints, Heloise, will be along with her regular visit from 9:10 until 10 a.m. this morning. So hopefully that will lighten the mood that we will have here in hour number one. But we are a community station, and we do cover community news, and it is important that we hear from our community leaders, and that's what we're going to do in hour number one here. Yesterday was a very interesting day. Just about the time I was going off the air at noon yesterday, the verdict, well, not the verdict. See, I've been saying verdict for the last few days. Sentencing for Judge Jason Warner was carried out, and his wife, Julia, and what we learned is that they were sentenced to 2 years in prison. Both of them were sentenced to 2 years in prison, and maybe one of the starkest scenes from yesterday was that Judge Warner, former Judge Warner, and Julia Warner were handcuffed and escorted by law enforcement out of the courtroom following the end of the hearing, the sentencing hearing, and the defense attorney, I don't think anybody wanted this to happen on their side, certainly not, but Judge Cosgrove denied any motions because they were considered flight risks, is what was said. That's the information I have in front of me. Let me read it, matter of fact, exactly as I have it. While defense attempted to allow them to be released, Cosgrove denied this motion and said they were considered flight risks. So, I really don't know for sure. We saw them handcuffed and escorted out of the courtroom yesterday. We know that Judge Cosgrove did not want them released, and we know that they were handcuffed and taken somewhere. Now, maybe we'll get some light shed on that this morning, but it was a very interesting day, to say the least, here in Marion, and I think no matter how much or how long we had prepared for that moment, you know, this had been going on almost a year. I believe the incident itself happened in June of 2020. The incident happens, and then we find out that the incident happened. I believe it was early July, late June, and I believe I'm right about this. Channel 6 News picked up on this, and that's where we first saw this. And then we had the protests downtown, asking for Judge Warner to resign. And then the judge did leave his position, but he did not resign. And then there was a plea hearing, and indictments, and a trial, and a verdict. And yesterday came with the sentencing, and even through all that, almost through a year, you know, from June of 2020 through April of 2021, I don't think anybody thought that we would see the stark image that we saw yesterday, which was Judge Warner, former Judge Warner, and his wife, I believe a teacher in this area, being handcuffed and let out of the courtroom and denied release. sentenced to 2 years in prison. It was very interesting, to say the least. And a lot of response. As soon as we posted that news story, a lot of people had a lot to say about that verdict. And it's interesting to me in a way, because I did not see, at least in the social media world, a matter of fact, I don't remember seeing any remorse at all from the people hearing that they were sentenced to 2 years in prison. Everybody that I read, and I might have glossed over some, I'm not saying that there wasn't any remorse, but everything that I read ranged from they got what they deserved, off to prison they go, and basically, you know, this is what should have happened. Some people even felt that they did not get enough time. That was the response yesterday on social media. So I don't know where that puts us. I think it's a very, very fascinating case. It is a story, a news story, to say the least, and it did focus attention on Marion yesterday. I don't know how many people were watching it on Facebook Live, but I know the number had to be very great, because it seemed like everything in Marion stopped for a minute. Now, we have two guests coming up who I'm so glad are going to be on with us this morning. We're going to speak to Sheriff Matt Bales at around 8:30, and then we're going to speak to Prosecutor Ray Grogan this morning at 8:45 and get their take on this, because it's important. Because these two men have no involvement in this case, but they know Judge Warner, and I'm sure they paid attention to what was going on yesterday, and even maybe more than the verdict itself of guilty about a month ago. I think yesterday was certainly more emotional in that courtroom, and certainly had a greater impact on people's lives, especially the Warners. And I don't want to minimize the impact that this had on the victim, Colton Gray, the person who was injured in this traffic accident. Because from what we learned yesterday from the prosecution was that his life has been altered as well. And from what I read, again, you know, I was not there. From what I read, his mother and he felt that the Warners should get the full sentence. A matter of fact, and I'm paraphrasing on this, but I believe the mother had sent a note in that was read yesterday in which she basically said, they left my son on the side of the road to die. Now, that's a paraphrase. Don't quote me on that. But from the articles I was reading, that's what I believe was relayed yesterday. And then there was a moment when the Warners could issue an apology or say something. It ended up being an apology, I think, in most people's minds. Julia went first, and then Judge Warner. And there were some interesting things about those moments, and we will talk with Sheriff Bales and Prosecutor Grogan about that this morning, because as I talked to people yesterday, and this is how I know a lot of people were watching this, or at least paying attention on the internet, or doing whatever they were doing, people honed in on these moments yesterday. People honed in on these apologies. People honed in on what Colton Gray's mother had to say. People honed in on the judge's demeanor. You know, having it Facebook Live as it was, somebody said to me yesterday when Judge Cosgrove, and this was their words, got animated right before the sentencing, explaining what had happened and what had led her to the decision, the sentencing decision, that she seemed angry. Now, those are not my words, and I don't know how judges handle things like that. But the feeling was, from people I talked to last night, that she was, I heard the words animated, I heard the words angry, and a lot of people felt that's when they knew that the outcome was not going to be good for the Warners as they watched Judge Cosgrove prior to the actual sentencing. So, there's that. We have about 3 minutes to go here. If anybody wants to call in very quick before Sheriff Bales calls in, just to give a quick opinion, feel free, 740-383-9944. But we do have to remember that the Warners have children, and it's hard to make this case right now. They have children, and yesterday their children had to watch both of their parents led away in handcuffs with release being denied by Judge Cosgrove. It's really, I don't want to say unbelievable, that's the word I want to say, but it's a very stark moment. And I think people will remember it. Go ahead, caller, 1 minute.
It's very quick, Scott. Well, they're a flight risk because that's what happened. They were a flight risk because they left the scene of the accident. So, of course, they're a flight risk. I don't care if he's got 10 PhDs from Harvard. He is held to the same standards as you and I, if not a higher standard. So that's why he's a flight risk. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody's brought that up before, but that's my cute comment, but a very true comment.
Well, the only thing I would say about that before we have the sheriff here in just about a minute is that I don't know. I really don't know what drove that, but if that was the thinking, which I don't know. You know, this happened in June of 2020, and the verdict happened, you know, a month ago. If it was just based on the idea that they left the scene of the accident that night, I guess they could have left if they truly were a flight risk at any point in the last year.
I mean, who knows? Well, be sure to tell the sheriff and the prosecutor thanks for coming on, and I look forward to hearing their intellectual, learned opinions.
We will hear. Thank you. You know, I don't know. I cannot make an inference on why that was done. I really don't know. But, you know, a lot of this morning is going to be just heartfelt opinion from the sheriff and the prosecutor because they watched this unfold as we watched it unfold. But we need to hear from these people because that's our duty as a radio station, as a news station, to hear from people. And we appreciate them coming on to let us know what they thought because it does matter. It does matter. And we find that out more and more. The deeper we get into things like this. But again, my final bit of editorializing on this just simply is that they do have children, and that's very, very tough. All right. As we continue on this morning, the talk certainly in town today, front page of the Marion Star, is the sentencing of former judge Jason Warner and his wife Julia to 2 years in prison yesterday by Judge Cosgrove for a hit and skip incident that took place in 2020. And the photo online, I have not seen the actual hard copy of the paper, but the photo online was Judge Jason Warner being led away in handcuffs yesterday, with release being denied by Judge Cosgrove. So that's where we are with this nearly year-long saga. And I'm so happy to welcome to these microphones in a very tough situation on a very tough morning for a lot of people who knew the Warners, who know Colton Gray, the gentleman who was injured in this accident. Just as a Marion resident, it's a pleasure to welcome to these microphones the Sheriff of Marion County, Sheriff Matt Bales. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today, Scott?
Doing well. Just want to start here. You know, this all came down yesterday, 2 years in prison for Judge Warner and his wife, Julia. What do you make of the whole situation yesterday?
I think that it was a just verdict or a just sentence. I think that's something that anybody would have gotten in the same situation.
When it was all happening. Did you watch it yesterday?
I was up there yesterday.
Oh, you were up there yesterday.
Yeah, I wasn't in the courtroom, but I was right outside the door.
When a lot of people felt that Judge Cosgrove got very animated was the word that I kept hearing from people. What did you make of that? Is that typical from a judge in a trial like that?
You know, in a case like this where emotions are high, the crime that happened left a 19-year-old, you know, with lasting effects. It was a night that was terrifying for him, and I'm sure that the judge did get a little bit emotional about it from hearing the testimony of the victim impact statements and the testimony during the trial, and I'm sure that she did get a little bit emotional about it.
When you heard that the judge had been sentenced to 2 years in prison and his wife, knowing Judge Warner, knowing the man Jason Warner, how did it hit you?
The whole situation, I just wish had never happened. It was a you know, for everybody involved. You know, Colton has to live with this the rest of his life. You know, obviously the judge and his wife are you know, going to prison, and it's affecting them and their families. You know, like I've said before, I've known the judge for quite a few years. I don't really know his wife that well, but I have known him for several years from his work in municipal court and in Collin Police Court. So it's disappointing for everybody involved, and it was just a horrific incident that happened, and I just wish it never had. I wish that they would have stayed there that night and called 911 and just avoided this entire thing. You know, it's just very disheartening, everything that's happened to everybody.
You know, Sheriff, a lot of people had a lot of question yesterday about when Judge Cosgrove denied release to the Warners after the sentencing had come down and they were let out in handcuffs, which is a stark, stark picture. Do you think that's going to live on in people's minds for quite some time? That was I believe that's the picture that the newspaper is using.
Yeah, I haven't seen the picture in the paper today yet, but yeah, it has to. It's you know, this is one of our elected judges in Marion County, and being led away in handcuffs, it has to be a lasting image for everybody. It's going to stick in people's minds for quite some time, I do think.
For people who don't know the process of something like this, when it ended for us when Judge Warner and Julia were let out of the courtroom in handcuffs, what happens at that point when you're sentenced to 2 years in prison?
Well, they were taken to a county jail, and they're being held there right now. And then a order will come down from the court on where they go, the order to move them to prison. At that point, they'll move on to their next destination, and it's, you know, to imagine being in that situation is unsettling. I mean, for the judge and his wife, it's a situation where you have no privacy. You're locked up for, you know, at least the next 6 months, if not for 2 years. You'll get visitation with your family whenever the prison says that you can. It's a very unsettling situation for them and their entire family.
Being that this was a Marion County judge, and being that this was something that had went on for nearly a year, what was the mood here yesterday down at the courthouse?
I think it was pretty somber, but I think it's kind of a relief that it's over. I think everybody is ready to move on from this. I think that at this point we can have a little bit of closure. Everything's over with, except for, of course, for his seat on the bench. But overall, it was somber. You never want to see one of your judges in a situation like that. You know, whenever you elect them to office, you expect them to act in an appropriate manner, and you know, that didn't happen in this case. I think everybody was just kind of somber, and but there, like I said, there was a little bit of relief that it's all over now.
Mm-hmm. As things were going, well, I want to get to this point because you've been in law enforcement for many, many years. One thing that Judge Cosgrove really spoke about yesterday, right before the sentencing, was the fact that I believe there were witnesses who said that after the accident occurred last year, that the Warners had went over to the car that Colton Gray was in, automobile, and clearly knew that he was injured and still left and did not alert the police. I believe it's not until 9 hours later is what was finally brought up. Did that play a huge part in this?
Oh, I think so. I think, like I said before, when the judge was, and I could hear her from outside the door, she was raising her voice quite a bit. I think that the emotions of everything that Colton went through that night, and the fact that they just left him there, I think that had a huge part to play in the judge's decision on what to sentence them. You know, I can imagine, I have an 18-year-old boy at home. If that had been him in that car, and that had happened, I can just imagine the feelings that would have flowed through me at that point. And I totally understand the anger that Colton and his family have gone through. Just imagining, like I said, my son being in that situation, and then people coming up that were involved in the accident and standing, you know, 3 feet away from him, and seeing what he was going through, and then just turning around, getting back in their car, and leaving—that's just callous.
Yesterday, Judge Warner and Julia were allowed to make statements, and I just want to read this and get your take on this. When it came to Judge Warner, in his statement, he said he made his decision after the crash due to the mental state Julia was in, Julia being his wife. He also said he never was driving on the night of the accident and that he did not incite Julia to flee from the scene. You know, if you're a judge, if you are a part of this, What do you just make of that statement in general? A lot of people had a lot of problems with that statement.
I had a lot of problems with it myself. I thought he was minimizing his involvement. He was kind of putting the blame on her, in my mind. And he had, there wasn't a lot of remorse in what he had to say. He was trying to minimize his own involvement, and I was very, very disappointed with hearing him say that stuff.
You know, and again, a lot of this is just opinion. Mm-hmm. When you're in a car with somebody after something like that happens, how do you not say anything? I think people were just very confused by that.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, just call 911 to get that kid some help. I don't know how you just leave there and not do that. It boggles my mind. It really does. I don't know what was going through their minds that night. I really don't. You know, the Jason Warner that I know from being on the bench and, you know, being a judge, I never would have expected that from him.
As we go from here, well, let me ask you this. Before the sentencing, because we have been going through this for nearly a year now, do you believe that there was a point for remorse to happen on Judge Warner or his wife's behalf? And do you think it ever did come right up until the sentencing yesterday?
Remorse on their part?
Yeah.
At the sentencing yesterday, like you just read part of the judge's statement, I didn't hear a lot of remorse there. I think that, His wife showed some remorse yesterday, but you know, leading up to now, I mean, he's take it from the beginning. You know, this accident happened last June. He didn't step aside until August. He still hasn't given up his place on the bench at this point. In my mind, he's not showing a lot of remorse or contrition to do the right thing. I mean, at some point, you've got to man up a little bit and take some responsibility for your actions. And at this point, he still has not stepped down from the bench. He's going to prison for 2 years. He's the right thing would be to step down. He should have stepped down, you know, quite some time ago, and he hasn't done so. And I'm disappointed in that also.
With everything you just said, and also knowing the man on a personal level prior to this and during this, what now do you, how do you explain this man who is headed off 2 years to prison at this point, a judge in this community?
How do I explain him?
Yeah, how do you describe him at this point?
That's a tough one, Scott. It's like I said, knowing the man prior to the incident, and then seeing what's happened since then, I'm just very disappointed in everything that's happened since the accident. I think my opinion of course my opinion of him has changed since the accident because of everything that's happened. I don't really know how to describe him at this point.
It's a tough time, but because of the attention that was focused in on this case, what do you think at this point is the legacy of Judge Jason Warner? With every decision that was made, not just the decision on the night of the accident, but the decisions of not leaving the bench, the decisions that were made in statements yesterday during the sentencing, the conduct since the accident, what is the legacy here going to be unless something starkly changes in the rest of his lifetime?
Well, when you take everything as a whole, Scott, he was, in my opinion, he was looking out for number one. He was looking out for himself after the accident, and I think that at this point that's going to be the kind of the legacy that he's had. And I hate to say that, but, you know, this is somebody that we elected to the bench, somebody we put our trust in, and he threw that away in one incident. And I don't know if what's going to happen from here with them, whether, you know, if he gets released in 6 months or 2 years or whatever it is. I don't know. It's just very disappointing, and his legacy at this point, I don't know that he really has a legacy at this point.
Very quickly, where does this rank in Marion history? It's a very unique event. It certainly, a lot of people feel, was not good for the community to have this happen. I don't know how it could be. How does it impact Marion in general? What does it say about us, this whole process?
I think it says a few things. Number one, I think it was an embarrassment to Marion in the community that one of our elected officials did that. But I think it also shows the community came together and got behind Colton and the cause for justice in this case. You know, right from the very beginning, whenever this story broke, you had people calling for justice, calling for the right thing to be done, and I'm hoping that people from outside the community see that about Marion, that we want the right thing to happen here. We don't want this kind of thing to happen. We want our citizens to be protected.
Sheriff Matt Bales, thank you, Sheriff, for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Sheriff Matt Bales on the Judge Warner incident. And we're going to continue on here because that's very honest words there from the sheriff, and I appreciate his candor in a situation like this. Really a very unique morning. And now we turn to another friend of our community, and again we thank him for coming on so soon after the sentencing, Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. Ray, how are you?
Doing well this morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing okay. It's certainly a very unique morning here in Marion as the newspapers come out and word continues to spread of yesterday's events.
For sure. The image that I saw on the website this morning of a judge of our court being held in handcuffs was quite sad, and certainly, well, let's just say this, it's certainly sad, and it's something that nobody ever envisioned and something nobody in this community ever wanted to see. But if there's any solace, hopefully, it is that this is over and our community can move past this, this remarkably disturbing and difficult situation.
We're getting a lot of questions, Ray, this morning about this idea that Julia and Judge Warner were sentenced to 2 years in prison, but there might be this idea, I believe, in 6 months of something called judicial release. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Of course. So the law in Ohio says that an individual sentenced to prison can, in some instances, depending on the length of the sentence, be released by the trial court that sentenced the individual. The amount of time that an individual has to serve depends on what their sentence is. And so in this instance, given that they received a 2-year prison sentence, they would legally be entitled to file for a judicial release after they have served 6 months at the state institution. So it's my understanding currently they're being housed in another county. And then, as the sheriff indicated earlier, once a judgment entry is handed down, they will then be transferred, Judge Warner or Jason Warner, to the Correction Reception Center, which is in Orient, Ohio, and Julie Warner to the Ohio Reformatory for Women, which is in Marysville, Ohio. Once they've been at those institutions for 180 days, they will then be eligible to ask the judge to release them.
Ray, you've argued cases in front of judges. You argued cases, I believe, in front of this judge, Judge Warner. Yesterday, when I talked to people last night, Judge Cosgrove, she, and I believe the sheriff said he felt this was partly his opinion earlier as well, when she became very animated before the sentencing, did that signal anything to you? A lot of people watching felt that was the moment that this was not going to be good for the Warners.
I had the same exact thoughts and feelings. Anytime a trial judge uses exhibits that were admitted as the basis for a decision that the judge has made regarding sentencing, it oftentimes gives insight into what that judge is thinking. And when she began to hold up pictures of Colton Gray's car, of Colton Gray himself, on the stretcher with his head and neck secured in place, as well as the Warner's vehicle, yeah, I agree with everyone that you were speaking with that it was at that moment that you realized, okay, if we're gleaning from this where she's at, so to speak, then it looks like she's not going to be granting them probation, but rather sentencing them to a prison term. And I think her getting animated, if you will, was perfectly appropriate. When you looked at those pictures, when you see the condition of that boy's car, when you see the condition that that boy was in when he had to be extracted from the car, and then you see the condition of the Warner's vehicle and realize that they drove from that intersection all the way to their home, it really gives you the insight into the gravity of just how bad of a crash this was and just how bad this kid was hurt. And it gives you some insight into just exactly how incredibly aware the Warners must have been as their car was traveling from the scene back to their house of just how bad it was.
When Julia and Judge Warner were allowed to make statements before the sentencing happened, and we just have a few quotes here from that. Julia, first of all, her eyes were filled with tears at this point, and she said that at the time of the accident, she was not in the best state of mind due to the pandemic just beginning, attempting to teach remotely, and political protest going on at the time. This accident was just the straw that broke the camel's back for me. When you hear that, as somebody who deals in the legal profession, that struck people very odd in this particular case. Did it strike you in any way?
Yeah, as extraordinarily odd, and quite frankly, it made me, I wouldn't say angry, but it was puzzling. You know, and I remember, as she said it, I remember thinking to myself, did she just blame what happened on the pandemic as opposed to her own actions? It was confusing, to say the least. I was puzzled by it.
And just as we did with the sheriff a few moments ago, Judge Warner had a chance to make a statement, and basically, and I want to read this again, he said he made his decision after the crash due to the mental state Julia was in. He also said he was never driving on the night of the accident and that he did not incite Julia to flee from the scene. Since the incident, he said he has continued to lose sleep. From a judge who has heard statements, who has been on the bench, how do you think that came off to this judge?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott.
Just to the judge and everybody paying attention.
Well, his statement was incredibly disappointing. I actually went back and watched it, because when I first watched it and heard it live, I did not hear him say the words, "I'm sorry." And I thought to myself, there's no way that he didn't say it. I must have just missed it. And so I went back and I watched it again. And he does not say he's sorry a single time in his statement. But instead, we go on again, even after we've taken this community through a trial, and even after we've presented the evidence that we wanted to present to this judge, and even after this judge has found you guilty, we're still sticking to this nonsensical narrative, as far as I'm concerned, that all I did was sit in the car and my wife caused this accident, my wife drove away, and I'm in no way responsible. And I have to tell you, as a husband, I can certainly understand wanting to protect my wife. And as a father, I would want to do the same for my children. But as a human being, we all have a responsibility to do the right thing. And in this instance, the right thing would have been, as chaotic as it is, as crazy and as emotional and as fear-inducing as the situation was, you had an obligation, not just legally, but also morally, to do the right thing. And he failed to do that. And it's incredible to me, because he used the word incited. He says, "I never incited or encouraged my wife to do this." And as a judge, he's a lawyer, and so he knows what the law is. And so if it's okay with you, for the listeners, I want to make one thing very clear here. And again, this is my opinion. My office did not prosecute the case. But the theory of the state's case was that he aided and abetted his wife and or she aided and abetted him in leaving the scene and tampering with evidence. And to be an aider or abettor, the Ohio jury instructions or the instructions that the court would have to consider or the jury would have to consider when deciding whether an individual is guilty or not guilty of aiding and abetting in these crimes, the jury instructions say that it's not just encouraged or incited. It can also be found that the person supported or assisted or cooperated with or advised. So there's a lot of different ways that an individual can aid or abet another in committing a crime. So even if Julie caused the crash, and even if Julie drove away from the crash, the testimony was, as Judge Cosgrove said yesterday, that then-Judge Jason Warner got out of the car, saw what happened, and got back into the car. Now, I find it hard to believe he wouldn't have said anything to his wife, but even if we assume that's true, he's certainly, by getting in the car, tacitly supporting and assisting and cooperating with her in leaving the scene. And he knows that, which is why he chose to say in his statement that I did not encourage or incite my wife to do this. I thought his statement was incredibly self-serving. I thought it was incredibly disappointing. And, quite frankly, I thought it was also disingenuous, to be quite honest. Mm.
Well, this brings us to a point, because there is a lot put into remorse. I think the public wants to see remorse, and I think that people in the legal profession want to see remorse. In either of these statements, even though they did both mention Colton Gray at times, did you see or feel any genuine remorse, in your opinion?
In my opinion, when I watched Julie Warner speak, I think she's remorseful. I think that she expressed a sincere apology for what happened. She was crying. And quite frankly, her initial statements about the pandemic and teaching remotely and things, those could have been statements that were made based on her being nervous and been panicky and so on. And I can understand that. With respect to Jason Warner, I didn't, in my personal opinion, I didn't sense a lot of remorse. I sensed a lot of regret in that he regretted, and I think he used the word regret, that he finds himself in this position. But being remorseful and truly understanding how he, I think in order to be truly remorseful, and we make this argument to judges quite often, you have to understand what you did wrong. And you have to understand that what you did was in fact wrong. And in his statement, by saying things like, I did not encourage or incite my wife to do this, says to me as a prosecutor that you really still don't get it. You still don't get that what you did was wrong and what you did was criminal. And if you don't get that, then you can't truly be sorry for what you did, and you can't truly be remorseful. And that's where it fell for me.
Do want to, if the audience was not watching or listening yesterday, that after the acquittal was denied that Judge Warner's legal team had put out there, his defense attorney, Mr. Szymanski, said that prosecution did not present any evidence to prove Jason was guilty of either crime. Now, we're hearing this leading up to the statements and the sentencing by Judge Cosgrove. What did you make of that part of yesterday?
What I made of it was that that's going to be their argument moving forward. They are certainly going to appeal Judge Cosgrove's findings and ultimately her guilty verdict. So to me, it was a continuation, if you will, of the defense, which will continue through the next phase of this, which is the appeal. I, based on what I have seen, based on what I have read, and quite frankly, based on what I heard yesterday from Judge Cosgrove, it appears to me that by getting out of the vehicle and then getting back in the vehicle and leaving the scene with Julie Warner, Jason Warner, it could certainly be found beyond reasonable doubt that he did support, assist, or cooperate with his wife to leave the scene. So I understand the defense's argument I can appreciate Mr. Schmanski certainly doing his job, but I think that's what that was. It was a continuation of the defense that has failed at trial, but they hope to be successful with it. They go through the next process of the appeal.
Two quick questions here. One that I asked the sheriff. How does this impact Marion? When it's on the Columbus News, when it's on the front of newspapers, when the hits were gotten on the social media post yesterday, and quite frankly, at least 100% of the ones I read, very, very negative towards Judge Warner. How does it impact this community?
I think it impacts, it's certainly a stain in our community. I think it impacts it that way. My hope is that moving forward, we can put this behind us, that we can grow from this. And in that, I mean that we understand now that, as Judge Cosgrove said yesterday, there are not two standards of justice in our community. And I was very proud when she said that. There's one standard of justice here in Marion County, and quite frankly, the other 87 counties, that just because you are a judge or a sheriff or a prosecutor or fill in the blank, a business person who's been successful, whatever the case may be, that if you break the law, there are consequences. And I hope moving forward that Marion can come out of this with the understanding that everybody here in Marion County, as harmful as this was, that we come out of it with the understanding that nobody's above the law and that everybody will be held accountable if and when they break the law.
Final question in this whole matter, and we talked about this last time after the verdict came in, about the great irony of this, that this was a judge who professed to be hard on crime, was handing down harder sentences than had been held down before. This was mentioned in a lot of press releases that were sent out at the time when he was still an active judge. But also, the man who you have been in front of, the man who you have worked with, when you take what happened yesterday, we think we know what happened in June of last year when this incident took place, but the behavior following that led to the moment in which we saw him handcuffed and led out of the courtroom yesterday with Judge Cosgrove, considering them a flight risk, how does that coalesce in your mind? This is a guy you knew personally and worked with. What now do you feel about this man as he sits, incarcerated at this point?
I feel remarkably disappointed because everybody, from me, the sheriff, and the sheriff and I've talked about this, to other people in our law enforcement community, other elected individuals in our community, we've all made mistakes, and we've all made bad decisions. The difference comes from when you make those bad decisions, when you make those mistakes, you have to own up to them, and you have to be willing to hold yourself accountable. And what I saw through this entire case, from the initial haphazard comment that Jason Warner delivered to the news once the Channel 6 story broke, to all the way through his statement yesterday, it never appeared to me that he was taking responsibility for what he did. And I think, to your point, and to use the words you used earlier, it is incredibly ironic that he found himself in that position. But as the sheriff said too, you have to man up at some point. And I never saw that. I am certainly, listen, I've made my share of bad decisions. I've made my share of mistakes, as all of us have. But the way that this was handled, that we're going to profess our innocence, which he's legally entitled to do, and he absolutely has the right to do. But it is ironic that in doing so, he has not allowed himself to in my opinion, demonstrate any remorse. And for now, for the next 2 years, it is going to cost both he and his wife their freedom.
If you could ask him anything right now, what would you ask him?
What in the world were you thinking? And to that end, I understand, at least I think, I can rationalize the desire. I think anybody can, to protect your spouse. I think any man or woman listening to your show this morning can understand the deep-seated desire to protect our loved ones. He said yesterday he loves his wife desperately. I believe him when he says that. To protect our spouse, our children, our family and friends. I think we do things that are out of the ordinary for us. What I can't understand, though, and what I can't rationalize is what in the world he was thinking when he couldn't be bothered to pick up his darn cell phone and call 911 and get people out there to help that kid. And, you know, as Judge Cosgrove said yesterday, and as Ms. Tamaro, Maggie Tamaro, who was the Assistant Attorney General who handled the case, thank God for the people who did respond, who did help him, and quite frankly, that, I think, is what we should be focused on, is those individuals who, not only those individuals who came to Colton Gray's aid, the one woman who is the licensed practical nurse who held his neck in place to make sure that if he did had sustained an injury, that his injury didn't get worse. But in addition to that, the people like the Warner's neighbors who came forward, and even though he's a judge, who came forward and said, "Yeah, I witnessed something in here, I need to talk about it." I hope we can take what they have done and use those as examples of people really trying to do the best they can for this community.
Ray, very quickly here, because I think this is a legal question. When the sentencing hearing was over yesterday and Judge Cosgrove denied the motion for release and considered them flight risks, what did that say to you?
Well, it's interesting because she referenced Criminal Rule 46, which is a pretrial release and detention rule. So there's rules of criminal procedure, which essentially dictate the rules of operation for a criminal case, and then there are rules of appellate procedure, which follows are the rules that are in place when a case is appealed. There is a provision in the appellate rules, I believe it is Appellate Rule 8, that allows for an individual to ask the court to stay the execution of a sentence in a criminal case while the case is being appealed. I will tell you that in my years of prosecuting here in Marion County, I don't believe we've ever had anybody stay out on bond or bail while the case is being appealed. So it is extraordinarily rare, and the law says, though, that prior to asking the appellate court to release you, you have to ask the trial court. I think Judge Cosgrove, I don't believe, said this, but the biggest benefit that a criminal defendant has in getting bail while the case is pending in the trial court is the presumption of innocence. You are presumed to be innocent, and as a result of that, we the state have to prove that your incarceration is necessary while the case is pending, even though you're presumed innocent, because either you're a flight risk or you could be a danger to society or something, and typically then we set an amount of money that if you post is supposed to offset that risk. That's the idea behind bond and bail, and to secure your presence at pretrial hearings, your trial itself, and so on. Once the trial is over and you have been found guilty, you no longer enjoy the presumption of innocence. And so, given that, coupled with the fact that they did flee from the scene, I think Judge Cosgrove was inclined, and in fact did, deny their motion to stay or pause, if you will, the execution of the criminal sentence while it was being appealed. And I think all things considered, in the ordinary course of practice here, in at least in Marion County, I thought that was right in line with what we typically do.
Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan, thank you so much, Ray, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Scott, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to break very shortly and back with more after this.
water faucets at the same time will help the water clear faster. Streets scheduled for water main flushing on Thursday, April 15th include Bellevue Avenue.